There's no denying that we live in a time where life without oil has become next to impossible. But regardless of that fact, most of us can probably admit that it's not something that we think about that often, other than the occasional pondering when we're staring down the current price of gasoline at the pump. But that may soon change in a big way. We're living in the middle of an oil boom, one that's most notably seen in the rush of people and activity in places like the Alberta tar sands and the North Dakota Bakken oil fields. And it's the activity of the tar sands in particular that stands to impact our region. Whether you've taken note or not, that activity has extended onto the Great Lakes, our front yard. Jim Murphy is the Wetlands and Water Resources Council with the National Wildlife Federation.
Right now, the primary way that tar sands comes into the Great Lakes is through a pipeline system that's mostly owned by the pipeline company Enbridge. And most of the tar sands right now crosses the border just a little west of Minnesota at the North Dakota border through a pipeline called the Alberta Clipper, which has been in operation since 2009. And right now that pipeline carries in about 450,000 barrels per day of oil, and then it attaches to a pipeline system called the Lakehead System, which has a bunch of pipelines throughout the Great Lakes area. There is a growing amount of tar sands oil that's coming in by rail, although most of the oil that's being carried by rail through the region right now is from the fields in the western part of North Dakota. We're producing oil at levels we haven't produced in decades. Both countries are. So currently, Enbridge has a proposal to approximately double the amount of tar sands that would come over the existing Alberta Clipper line. And that proposal is under review by the State Department. But as we recently found out, Enbridge has tried to put together a scheme which State Department has given approval to basically manipulate the existing line system so that it can move that doubled amount of oil over anyways.
While the expansion of pipeline capacity and shipping on the Great Lakes might be good news for some, particularly the commercial shipping industry and its workers, and of course the oil industry, which has more oil than it can ship out at the moment, environmentalists and concerned citizens around the Great Lakes have been speaking out about what they see as a threat to the health of the Great Lakes and one of its other major industries, tourism. And their worries are not misplaced.
Yeah, the Great Lakes has already seen some negative impacts from being the primary receiving source of tar sands. And the biggest impact, direct impact, was seen with the Kalamazoo spill. That was a spill of about 1 million gallons into a creek that runs into the Kalamazoo River. Tar sands is, unlike no oil, is easy to clean up, but tar sands particularly hard to clean up because it sinks and attaches to the bottom of rivers and stream beds and wetlands. And that spill, which happened 4 years ago now, is still polluting that river and maybe for a long, long time to come. They've dredged it repeatedly. Basically, it's just very integrated into the ecosystem right now and is a continuous source of pollution. So the spill risks are huge. And the more tar sands that moves through the Great Lakes, the more the risks of a tar sand spill, Kalamazoo spill, about 40 miles of that river, have been permanently polluted. Fortunately, it didn't reach Lake Michigan. But once you get into open water, like one of the Great Lakes themselves, an oil spill is much, much harder to contain.
There's also refinery expansion around the Great Lakes, which has its own set of impacts.
Tar sands is a lot dirtier and harder to refine than conventional crude just because it's much more impure and has a lot more both toxic substances in it, but also just impurities. As a result, the emissions that refineries have been are more hazardous. The air pollution problems are worse. And there's a byproduct from tar sands refining called petroleum coke, which is basically a coal-like product. And about 25% of the tar sands that comes into refineries ends up as petroleum coke. And what the refineries are doing is that they're dumping that in big piles right next to, oftentimes next to waterways like the Detroit River, but also in communities.
The Great Lakes landscape is changing, and undoubtedly, so will America's energy future. For Jim and other environmentalists, this change is necessary because more tar sands on the lakes is too great a risk.
It's a direct threat to the, really the jewel of the region. The Great Lakes contain over 20% of available fresh water in the world. They're the reason a lot of people come to the Midwest and the Great Lakes region. There's a lot of tourism involved with the Great Lakes. It provides drinking water for millions of people. The Great Lakes provide recreational opportunities for millions of people, both people who live there, but also people who travel to recreate in the Great Lakes. That brings a lot of money into the economy. It's a huge part of the quality of life of people in the Midwest and Great Lakes region. Having a huge oil spill would jeopardize or destroy a big portion of an impacted area. You know, from wildlife to health to the economy of the region, having more tar sands puts all of those things at risk, and then it fuels climate change. And the Great Lakes right now are seeing immense impacts from climate change. The algal bloom that made Toledo's drinking water undrinkable for several days this summer is something that climate change is going to make worse. The Great Lakes can't afford runaway climate change, and the only way we're going to avoid runaway climate change is if we invest in clean, renewable energy that doesn't have the carbon pollution that tar sands does.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is currently accepting comments from the public on the environmental impact statement for Enbridge's Sandpiper Pipeline, which is proposed to go through Superior, Wisconsin, at the head of Lake Superior and the Great Lakes. The public comment period is open through September 30th, and comments can be emailed to dnroeeaacomments@wisconsin.gov. For the Lake Superior Project, I'm Kelly Schoenfelder. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Support for this project comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Music and sounds in this piece were produced by Peter Elvin. For more information, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.